Good morning. If you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. We have been given 35 minutes to preach this morning, and so if you will listen fast, I will preach fast. Usually get a good introduction in about 35 minutes, and we were joking last night at dinner. When Todd came and preached at my church, he had no time limit. And you know, I think same thing with Pastor Tom, so... no, we understand what's at stake here and what we've come to do this morning. So if you would stand to your feet with me, if you're able to, as we give reverence and honor to the reading of God's Word. As Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8 reminds us that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of our God endures forever. Proverbs chapter 3 beginning in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Father, this is your word. Would you write it upon our hearts this morning? Encourage your saints and convict sinners. Through the text this morning, we ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 are probably some of the most familiar verses in all of Scripture. Probably come second after John 3 and verse 16. These verses you've probably memorized in Sunday school, and perhaps your grandmother had them cross-stitched in a picture frame in her home, or you've even heard the chorus song of a worship song, to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Yet these verses are very striking in their simplicity, are they not? This is a very simple text, and thank you, Brother Brian, for giving me this text, because this text just preaches itself. It just unfolds for us, and it's very simple and yet very complex. It's very simple to read and understand verses 5 and 6 of Proverbs chapter 3, and yet I find it very difficult to obey. What about you? To trust in the Lord with all your heart, and to lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. It's very simple, yet I find it so difficult to obey. These words cling to our soul because they speak to the great need that we all need here, feel this morning, and that's the need of guidance. This text this morning helps us as believers in Christ to follow after Him by trusting in Him with all our being. It reminds me of G. Campbell Morgan, the 19th or 20th century great preacher, evangelist. As he was leaving his mother and father's home for the very first time, his father hugged him and embraced him and shook his hand. And when he shook his hand, he put a piece of paper in G. Campbell Morgan's hand. And as he left and as he went to where he was staying, he unfolded that paper. And he said these words on that piece of paper were Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, with no commentary. And as G. Morgan began to meditate on these verses, he understood what his father was telling him. His father was telling him, without saying anything, look how I live my life by trusting in the Lord. That was the commentary, that his father was placing his faith wholly in the Lord and guiding him. Well, when we come to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, we seek guidance from the Lord. We have also another father speaking to his son. We have Solomon, who wrote Proverbs, the majority of it, and he tells us in verse 1 that he's speaking to his son here. And it is here that Solomon is reminding his son to trust in the Lord, to trust in God, that God is trustworthy. You can never go wrong by trusting God. And it's so it is for us today that we can trust God when we seek to know His will for our lives. It's to trust God. And so I want us to think on four aspects when it comes to trusting in God from our text this morning. If you'll look with me, first of all, in verse 5, we see that we can trust God with everything. We can trust God with everything. Notice in verse 5, the first part, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Or you could say, trust God with all your being. This is a call to trust, or it's actually the imperative in the Hebrew. It's a command. It's kind of like Matthew 28. This is not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion to go make disciples, and it is not a suggestion to trust in the Lord. It is a command here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It means to, when we think of trust, we think of leaning with our body or to lay upon, to waste, to rest our full weight upon. It's kind of like the analogy of when I worked for hospice, I would go to patients' homes and they would have a cane and they would lean upon that cane, or they have a walker and they would rest upon that walker to get around. They were putting their trust in that walker. But there's something much greater. The Hebrew is very emphatic and it emphasizes even stronger than just leaning upon something. It's placing your full weight on it. It's like laying on a bed where you take your feet off the floor and you place your whole weight on that bed. You're trusting that bed to hold you up. That's what Solomon is trying to get through to us and emphasizing here, that we are to trust in the Lord in such a way that we rest our whole weight upon Him. Every bit of our being upon Him. For we trust God with everything, to depend on Him completely. Now we're good Baptist, good Christian folks here today, and we would say yes and amen to that. But do we? Do you and I completely rest solely, fully, depend completely upon the Lord? Trust in the Lord. This is what Paul meant when he wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by trusting fully, depending fully upon the Lord. And yet we often go our own way, thinking that we'll help the Lord out a little bit along the way. Lord, we understand you've got this and we believe you're sovereign and in control, but let me do it this way. I often think how nice it would be if the Lord would give us some kind of GPS sensor to tell us which way to turn. In my truck, I have a GPS navigation system and I never use it until I get down the road and think, I need to find out where I'm going. Well, guess what? It won't let you get on it while you're driving. And yet, if the Lord was to give us something such as a GPS system that told us which direction, every direction to go, what would that do to our trust in Him? Would we fully depend on Him? This is what Job said in Job 13, verse 15, though He slays me, I will trust in Him. Psalmist wrote it like this in 34 verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Solomon is commanding, he is calling for us to trust, to rest solely, dependently upon the Lord and Him alone. But notice what we are to trust in. We're not to just trust in our own mind and our own philosophical ideas. We are to trust in the Lord. There's an object here. And that object is a person. It's Yahweh. It's the personal name of God, as Brother Tom brought out last night. This is the Lord. And he says, not only are we to just flippantly trust, but we're to trust in the Lord. To trust in what He has done. He is our object of faith. And by the way, your faith is only as good as its object. Everybody has faith. The demons believe and shudder. The atheist, the agnostic, they believe in something. It may not be in the Lord, but they trust in something. Most of the time they trust in themselves, which is idolatrous worship. They're just an idolater who needs to hear the gospel. And yet, Here Solomon says not to trust in anything in and of itself, but to trust in the person of the Lord. We live in a nation today that is not Christian by any stretch of the imagination. Even though 75% of the people would say that they are Christians, they believe that there may be a God. But we see our country today, and it's largely when you're killing 50 million babies a year, how can you call yourself a Christian nation? And then you have 25% of people today, as I mentioned last night, who consider themselves to be part of the nun group, which is atheist or agnostic. They have no religious affiliation whatsoever, yet they believe in something. Here we see that Solomon says that we are to trust in the Lord. Their faith is misplaced. For only God is worthy of our trust. What are you trusting in today? Some men trust in chariots, some in armies. But as for me and my house, we will trust in the Lord. That's the command from the text. But notice how he tells us, he says that there's also not only the command to trust in the Lord and do it with all your heart. There's the nature of this trust. It's you're to do it with all your being, with all your heart. How are you to trust in the Lord? With everything that you have. There is no in between. You're either trusting in the Lord full and wholeheartedly, or you're not trusting in Him at all. There's no fence riding here. You're either in or you're out. Half-hearted trust is negative faith at best and atheism at worst. Think about that. Half-hearted faith is negative faith at best and atheism at worst. When we do not trust in the Lord with all our being, with all our heart, we are saying we don't really trust you at all, Lord. I've got this. Let me handle this. It reminds me when I often fly and go on mission trips, and just a few months ago I went to Mexico and preached in a Bible conference in southern Mexico, and I met with the team, and we were getting ready to go on the plane. And you know, you have your rituals that you do when you go to the airport. You check your bags, you get your boarding pass, you go through TSA. Everybody does the same thing. It's just the same thing. But there's a point that when you go to get on that plane, you go to the end of the jetway, and there is a point where you have to make a conscious decision that when I step off of this jetway onto this plane, my life is no longer in my hands. Have you ever thought about that when you fly? When you step off that jetway onto that plane, you have no more free will, if you want to say that. And I have yet found anybody putting one foot on the plane and the other foot on the jetway saying, I'm ready to go. Take off, Captain. It just ain't going to work. And it's the same way trusting in the Lord with all your heart. You're not halfway in and halfway out. You're either in or you're out. You're either trusting in the Lord or you're trusting in something else. And most of the time, if you're like me, you're trusting in yourself, your ideology, because you're so smart. And if you're like me, when I trust in myself, I usually end up in a lot of trouble. Solomon says, trust in the Lord with everything. You cannot trust in the Lord and lean on your own understanding at the same time. You can't do it. If you're an unbeliever here today, you need to run to the cross of Calvary and place your trust in the finished work of Christ. Don't think that being a good person is going to get you into the presence of a holy God for all eternity. Don't think that your worship and the lack thereof, because you don't know the love, as we've just heard, of God, if God doesn't love you and has revealed that love through His Son and person and work of Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you are a believer and you have trusted in the Lord, you believe in the finished work of Christ. Your salvation is solely in Him. You're active in the church. You're active in serving and praying and reading the Scripture and leading your family and family devotion and worship. Let me ask you this. Are you worrying about your career? Are you worrying about your children? Are you worrying about fill in the blanks? Because worry is a sin. Trust in the Lord. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6 not to be anxious for anything. And Solomon tells us as well, not to worry. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We must trust Him in everything. We must trust Him with everything. Second of all, if you'll notice, he tells us in the last part of verse 5 is that we are to trust God above everything. Notice verse 5, the last part, and do not lean on your own understanding. So we go from a positive, Solomon says, trust in the Lord. And now the last part of this verse, he says, do not, negative. Do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord, but do not lean on your own understanding. I'm from Alabama. And we get this, Brother Tom. I mean, it's simple, right? I mean, it's just real simple. Trust in the Lord. Do not lean on your understanding. Very simple, but yet so complex. And it doesn't mean that we don't make plans for next week and next month, and we don't make rational plans. Faith has its reasons, right? It's a rational reason. We must embrace the faith that God has entrusted to us. We must be good stewards with our times, our talents, our treasures. We shouldn't check our brains at the doors when we come into the church house. We ought to be the most thinkingest, if that's a word, people there are on the face of the earth as God's people. We ought to come through expecting for our brains to be turned on and asking God the Spirit to speak to us through the preaching and teaching of God's Word. Not to check out thinking about what's for lunch or how am I going to pay this bill next week. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. It doesn't mean check out. It means to check in. And it's not that God doesn't want you to think. He wants you to change your thinking. He wants to change your thinking through the Word. And so we embrace this faith. And I would say largely this is what's wrong with the church today. Let's talk about us. Judgment begins in the household of God. We come in and we expect to get something out of it, right? I won't ever forget one Sunday I got finished preaching and, you know, everybody loves the sermon. You never preach a bad sermon, do you, Brother Todd? Has anybody ever told you you preached a bad sermon? Not too often. I remember one Sunday greeting the people coming out, and I remember this dear saint, widow woman. She shook my hand, looked at me dead in the eyes. She said, I didn't get nothing out of that sermon. She was serious. She said, I didn't get nothing out of that sermon. If I'd have thought about it, I'd said, what'd you put into it? You don't get something by not putting something into it. You have to prepare yourself as we come to the house of the Lord, not to lean on our own understanding, but that our understanding and our thinking and our mind would be changed. That's what repentance is. We're expecting to repent when we come in here. We are repenters. God wants our mind, as the psalmist would say in Psalm 26, verse 2, prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind. Matthew 22 and verse 37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Have this mind among you. This mind of Christ. And so the text is not telling us to stop thinking when it comes to our faith, but our faith should change the way we think. Reminds me of Solomon over in Saul in chapter 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 6. The young man comes back and he reports to David what he finds. And if you remember what Saul did, he comes back and he tells King David, the young boy, he said that he found Saul who leaned on his own sword. Same Hebrew word is used here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, do not lean. The same word that Saul, the young man saw, found Saul leaned against his sword. Saul committed suicide. And Solomon says here, every time you and I lean on our own understanding, in a sense, we are committing spiritual suicide. Every time we don't trust in the Lord and we lean on our own understanding, we're leaning on the sword. And it gets us in a lot of trouble when we lean on our own understanding. I found this often relevant in counseling sessions with married couples as they sit in front of me and I'm there with a wife and a husband and they don't love each other anymore, Brother Tom, because it's all about feelings and what you can do for me. Marriage is not about love. It's not about your happiness. It's about a covenant with a holy God. Now that's another rabbit trail. Only got 35 minutes. Don't need to go down there. But what I often get with this counseling session is this. Well, I know what the Bible says, but throw the Bible out of the window when you say that conjunction, but. You're beginning to commit spiritual suicide by leaning on your own understanding. I know what the Bible says about debt, but. I know what the Bible says about career, but. I know what the Bible says about who I should court or who I should marry, but. It's spiritual suicide when we lean on our own understanding. And let's not just take it individually, but you see a lot of churches today is leaning on their own understanding. We understand that we can't preach against homosexuality or same-sex marriage, but if you do that, guess what's going to happen? People won't come in. If you call sin, sin, it won't. But. And then what about budgets and finances and all that? We should thank God that He knows much more than we'll ever know. We know a lot, but He knows everything. We can do a lot, but He can do everything. There is nothing that's impossible with God. Therefore, we must trust God above everything. But Solomon also reminds us in verse 6, the first part, that we can trust God in everything. Trust God with everything, trust God above everything, and trust God in everything. Notice the first part of verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Notice the word all means all. Everything. Nothing fancy about that. In everything you do, acknowledge Him. Trust God in everything. This word acknowledge is can be hard to understand in the original language, but it's a command here. You can translate it this way: in all your ways, know Him. Know Him. And this knowledge, this knowing of Him, is that also the same word when Adam knew his wife, the Hebrew word yada, he knew. It's an intimate, personal relationship. And it is here that they are to acknowledge Him. It's a personal experience in acknowledging all your ways to Him and trusting God in everything. And the only way that you can acknowledge God in all your ways is to be known by God. That's the only way that we can acknowledge Him, is that He knows us and that we know Him. There's an assumption that you know Him, therefore you'll trust in Him and you'll acknowledge Him in all your ways. And so the key to understanding every circumstance for our life is that we know God, and we need to ask the question, where are you at, God, in this circumstance now? Where are you at in my life? What are you doing now, God? One of our elders, every Sunday morning before Sunday school, he asks this question, what is God doing in your life? What has God done in your life this week? We go about our lives so flippantly that we don't think and meditate that God is doing something in everything. Even in washing dishes or doing laundry or stay-at-home mothers minister to their children, making sure that their husbands prepared for work and going to work and whatever we do, that God is working in and through every circumstance of our life. How are we to trust God in everything is to ask God, where are you at? And it begins with knowing God and Him knowing you. So we are to seek God, not to use God. So often we use God without seeking God. We often put God at the end of what we do when we make a mess of everything. And where are you at, God? Help me! Rather than seeking Him and acknowledging Him in all our ways. I thought that when I was called to the ministry that everybody would just want to come hear me preach. I figured I'd be the next Billy Graham. I'd fill up stadiums and everybody would just love to hear me preach. And I ended up at a church with 18 people and yeah, it didn't work out so well. And I thought everybody, I just believed the Bible, what the Bible says, that's what we did, right? And I was just naive enough to think that all my deacons believed that. This is what the Bible says. This is what we're going to do. Until one Sunday evening in a deacon's meeting, I had to bring to attention of a lady who was in our congregation who was living with a man out of wedlock. And it was known by the whole congregation. It's 1 Corinthians 5. Sexual immorality had come in. I just thought you do what the Bible said to do. I said, we need to get together and go visit this young lady and point to her. Her sin. Now, albeit she was one of the deacon's daughters, it didn't go very well. Because they told me, how can we do this? This will not go over well. We can't confront this sin because it will bother, it will split what's left of this church. So rather than acknowledging God in all our ways, we're going to lean on our own understanding and think and ask God to bless our sin in the church. Well, ask the Corinthians how that went in 1 Corinthians 5. It didn't go over very well. Brothers and sisters, God has given us His Word. As one old deacon said, well, you know, brother, we God saved us and we got His Bible. He's also given us common sense. Common sense to know if we confront this situation, it's not going to work out very well. God has given us His Word to make decisions, not common sense, when it comes to spiritual decision. And so we must acknowledge Him in all our ways. We must take God as our first response and not our last resort. So we need to ask God, where are you in this problem? Where are you in this decision? God, where are you? And what is your will according to your word? We do not want to lean on our own understanding, but we want to acknowledge you in all our ways. That's the reason why churches should be, as New Testament churches, we should seek to be biblically healthy churches according to God's word. I tell our congregation, I don't care what the First Baptist Church is doing. This is what God has called us to do according to His word. We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to evangelize. We're going to do missions. We're going to love one another, and we're going to be a church. Plain and simple, really simple when you think about it. We want to acknowledge Him. And so we trust God in everything. But notice the last part of verse 6. We need to trust God through everything. And He will make straight your paths. Or you could put it this way, and He shall direct your paths. This is a great promise to us, isn't it? He will. It's not that He will try, but He will direct your paths. When? Trusting in the Lord and acknowledging Him in all your ways. He will do this. God promises to guide those who trust and acknowledge Him. Psalm 32 verse 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. We are reminded of Proverbs 16:9, one of my favorite verses of Scripture, that man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. It is God's divine guidance. He promises to guide, lead, and direct you as a child of God, as you trust in Him and as you acknowledge Him in all your ways. Don't expect Him to guide you along the way when you're not trusting and acknowledging Him. But there's also a greater promise here that we see. If you'll notice the verb here in the last part, He will make straight, or He shall direct. This verb in the Hebrew is it means to make an intense or intentional action, to take an intense or intentional action. In other words, this is not a passive action that the Lord is going to do this. It's intentional. Trust in the Lord. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will make straight your paths. In other words, God will smooth out your paths before you. Now, there's both good and bad news here. When you trust in the Lord, acknowledge Him in all His ways, in all your ways, as we heard last night, there is going to be persecution. As you desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, go ahead and get ready for it. Satan's going to come, and he's going to use people that you never thought in a million years would try to hang you and kill you. You get serious about living godly in Christ Jesus and see if the persecution doesn't come full force. See if the way, it's not going to be easy, and the hill is not going to be short. The storm's going to be rough. But notice he says, He will make your path straight. He is going to intentionally, with intense force, smooth out the way. I thought about this, and I thought about when God moved us from Alabama to pastor the church in northern Tennessee almost 9 years ago. I was so excited. My wife wasn't so excited. She's going to move from her family for the very first time ever, 200 miles. Kids are going to move from grandma and grandpa. I was just excited to go preach at a church that believed in grace. And man, they had an awesome history behind them. I was excited. Everybody was excited until about a year and a half along the way. And there was a bump in the road. And one of the main leaders in the church, we met, and he said, "One of us has got to leave town." I said, "I don't have anywhere to go." He resigned his positions and left a couple of weeks later. A year or two after that, I had a situation with a gentleman in the church who was he held the church bag, he was the treasurer, and he would be gone to Florida 6 months out of the year, and so met with the stewardship committee some of the men of the church, and they said, "Yeah, we don't agree that he should have the checks and running the financial business only 6 months out of the year. We need somebody who can be here year-round. Who's going to go tell him?" "I guess I will." You go and you get called every name underneath the sun, as you talked about some of those people who get piffed at you, and you have to love them anyways. Tell me that my wife needs to learn how to budget, that we're costing the church money, and we need this and that, and I mean just railed me. And then 2 years later, the summer that I was here, if you remember, our church was going through some things. And just a few months after I left here, our church split wide open, right down the middle. Some people say our church split and have 10 families leave. We end up losing like 30 people. God never promised, when you seek after Him and trust in Him and acknowledge Him in all His ways and you stand on this word, that it's going to be easy. Look to your Savior, Jesus Christ, who was innocent, blameless, sinless, and they nailed Him and they crucified Him as a guilty man. Here's what I learned through all that, that we trust God through it. We hold on to Him. We hold on to His Word. There was times that I was just going to walk away from it all, and thank God I had elders to come to my house 3 days laying in bed, not shaving or hardly showering, and they come and pick me up and sit me at the table, and they pray with me and tell me to get my head up and just quit acting like a little baby and let's go forward. It's good to have men like that. Trust God through everything. And you may be here today and you may be going through some trials and tribulations, health issues or finances, or and you don't understand the end. You don't see it at the end. Trust God through it. He's going to smooth out the ways. And how do we know that? Well, we look to the cross of Jesus Christ. They killed our Savior. The Jews and the Romans thought they were going to do away with this guy who is the Messiah, so much so that they put a stone in front of the burial tomb. On the third day, God moved that stone and he come walking out. Is there anything too big, too impossible for God? Absolutely not. If you trust and acknowledge Him in all your ways, He will make your path straight. Not easy, but straight. Therefore, God is trustworthy. It reminds me of an illustration I heard some time ago of a little boy and his mama. They would go to the grocery store on a weekly basis, and the grocery the owner of the store would tell the little boy, said, reach in that barrel right there and grab your hand full of candy. No, sir. He wouldn't grab that candy. So the man would do that, and he would get a handful of candy, put in his mama's grocery bags, and they'd go on. And this went on for weeks and weeks and weeks, and finally the mama told the little boy, said, you need to quit being rude and tell and accept and stick your hand in there and get that candy for yourself. And the little boy stopped his mom in the middle of her comment. Said, no, mama, you don't understand. His hands are bigger than mine. He was getting more candy. He wasn't no dummy. God's hands is bigger than yours and mine. Trust God with everything. We sing the old hymn, trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You may not, well, I know you don't know what tomorrow holds. But I tell you what, I know the one who holds tomorrow. God is trustworthy. Trust Him with everything. Trust Him above everything. Trust Him in everything. And trust Him through everything. Let's pray. Father, thank You that You're a God who is trustworthy. Help us, oh God, just to depend on You in every circumstance that life brings our way. For God, You're the sovereign God of the universe. And there is nothing that comes our way as Your children that doesn't pass through Your sovereign hand. Therefore, we can trust You in all of life's circumstances, knowing that You are working all things together for the good, for those of us who love You and been called according to Your purpose, for our good and for Your glory. Father, would You help us be reminded of this truth? In Jesus' name, amen.